You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm Lance White, and I'll be your host. Before I introduce tonight's guest again, I'd like to mention that my book, Tales of Zany Mystic, is now available for sale as a paperback and on Kindle. I'm asking for your support in keeping my show on the air by purchasing a copy today. Tonight, my guest is Suzanne Posel. Suzanne Posel is a research journalist and nationally syndicated radio personality. She is the chief editor of Occupy Corporatism, host of the Real News Report on RBN, and host of the Region 10 Report broadcast on Prepper Podcast Network and UCY-TV. Her articles can be found on OccupyCorporatism.com, and her radio shows can be found on radio.occupycorporations.com. So, let's welcome Suzanne to the show now. Hi, Suzanne. How are you?
I'm awesome. How are you?
Well, I can't quite claim to be awesome because you hold the candle for awesomeness. So, but I'll say I'm nearly awesome. How's that?
Oh, no.
I'm close to awesome. I thought it, you know, the way that I found your site, I was so impressed by your writing. You know, a lot of my guests, I just, some are by referral, some are by research, and sometimes I just kind of, use the Ouija board of the keyboard, and I look at things that interest me. And what most interests me is the truth of any kind. It doesn't matter if it's political truth or religious truth or whatever. And, of course, everybody's got their own ideas about what those things are. But when I read your articles on your blog at OccupyCorporatism.com, I really sensed somebody who was making an effort to get accurate articles, good sources, and to share the truth of what's really going on out here in the world. So I think the first question might be to ask you, how did you come about starting this blog and radio show? And is it something that you just kind of segued into, or what?
Well, I'm a stay-at-home mom, and I just got sick of being lied to. I think we all realize that the mainstream is lying to us, and they've always lied to us. You know, they're the propaganda machine of the government. And I just started researching what I was reading in articles and realizing that they weren't telling the truth, or they were telling half the truth, or they weren't telling us who was behind everything. So I started the website about a year ago and was quickly picked up by most of the major alternative news sites as a contributor, and started doing radio. My first radio show was Joyce Riley, The Power Hour, and then quickly got picked up, and now I have my own show on RBN, and I have a radio show that goes out on the Prepper Podcast Network. James Smith over there is really cool, and UCY.TV, Jules over there picked me up, and now it looks like Progressive Radio with Gary Null. His outfit is going to pick me up.
Wonderful. Now, what can you give us an example for those people who may not be able to get on the site right at this moment? Can you give us an example of some of the types of the stories that you post, and how do you vet your sources?
I pick up just about anything I can get my hands on. I scour the news, all the major propaganda sites like ABC News and MSN and BBC News, looking for her stories and trying to see what they're trying to get us to believe.
Mm.
And then I just do a little bit more research, looking deeper into the article, find out who the corporations are, who's running them. I do a lot of exposés, like Patrick Claussen. I did an article on him because not too many people understand where the neocon agenda comes from, that it's a Trotskyite and that it's communism. And Patrick Claussen did an infamous video. Well, somebody posted the video on YouTube where he was admitting that we need to use false flag operations in order to get us into wars, and that all of the major, like the Gulf of Tonkin, the Pearl Harbor, 9/11, these were all false flags perpetuated by our government to get us into war.
Right.
So I did an expose on him. And I try to cover everything from vaccines to all the agendas at the UN, climate change. I love my communist in chief, Barack Obama. Wink, wink.
Right. Now, one of the questions that came up for me today was, as you began researching, there must have been some truths that were more shocking or surprising than some of the others that you were having to take a look at. Can you share a few of those with us?
Well, one of the things that woke me up was the financial crash of 2008. And realizing that what fiat currency is, how the Federal Reserve came about, realizing that our entire monetary system is based on nothing and it's a joke and it's a lie, and that all other fiat currencies across the globe are that way as well, and learning about the BRICS nations, which are Russia, Brazil, India, China, and South Africa, that are backing their fiat in actual precious metals, and what that means to the central bankers and all the wars that are going on overtly, which are covering the covert wars. That really was what did it. And then I started looking into all what we call conspiracy theories and realizing that the ones that are true are incredible.
Right, that's true. Yes. Absolutely right. Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned about vaccines, and I do some research on vaccinations because I have a compromised immune system.
You need to speak up a bit.
Okay. I have a compromised immune system because in 1982, I signed up for the hepatitis B vaccination study through the World Health. Yes, and they were holding it in New York and in San Francisco. And I didn't realize at the time that there might have been something else being delivered with those vaccines. Well, naive little me, I found out later from my doctor that the first vial that I'd been given the hepatitis B with, and then they took my blood, was HIV negative. The second vial was positive, and I was not sexually active at the time, and so the only other place where it could have come from was the vaccination. And this is just one example which has been proven in New York and in San Francisco of there being additional elements in vaccinations that are not necessarily there for our health. And, of course, there's so much about vaccinations and autism and ADHD and this and that and the other thing. So, and horrible substances being in them. So it's really important for us to become more aware of what's really going on before we just read the sign at our local drugstore and says, free vaccinations today, come and get them all day long, you know. We don't know what we're getting in there. We could be getting a dose of arsenic for all we know.
Getting Thimerosal, which is a mercury-based preservative, and that it has direct effects with autism. In fact, in one of my articles on my website, OccupyCorporatism.com, I wrote about a study that was done in 1997 that was suppressed by the medical industry because this doctor gave monkeys one group with Simarsol in it, the vaccines, and the other group without. And the monkeys without did not show any signs of autism. The monkeys that did got it.
Right.
Also, there was a study in, there was a Dutch study done where they had taken out all of the Simarsol in the vaccines, and they noticed a drastic reduction in the cases of autism that were coming in through infantile autism as well as in small children. And again, the CDC suppressed and actually not plagiarized, but they altered the study. And the two lead authors of the study actually sued the CDC, go those guys, when they read it. And it was published, and they found out that they had changed the outcome of the study to say that without the Simarsol, there were more instances of autism.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And then, of course, we have the infamous Monsanto with its GMO foods and Agent Orange and the rest of it, which is systematically attempting to genetically modify all the seeds so that they die and they have to be registered and sold through Monsanto. But the worst part of this is that the GMO foods are absolutely foreign to the body. They've been proven beyond a shadow of a doubt to literally mess up the insides of the body and create impotence and many other things. And we just had a Proposition 37 vote here in California, and Monsanto spent $47 million on advertising to shut that down, which would have required that labels would have to have information about what GMO foods were in the items that we were eating. Well, it seems like common sense to me that we should be allowed to know what we eat.
Well, exactly. What your listeners might know, or they might not know, is that when we eat GMO food, it's broken at the base level. It's broken information. It's broken RNA. And when our bodies ingest it on a cellular level, the cells read that broken RNA and become broken themselves. It's just like a virus in your computer system giving your hard drive broken information, and so your hard drive becomes corrupt. And the way that the cells manifest is in a tumor. And so that's why we get cancer.
Right.
And then we have, which is interesting to me, Monsanto has seeds that are able to withstand drought and able to withstand the effects that we call global warming, which in my opinion, in my research, I think is based on the geoengineering that they've been doing back all the way back to the 40s, you know, when they first started experimenting. And so we're changing the weather patterns in our on our planet all the geoengineering in the sky and also in the water with the ocean fertilization.
And
these seeds are able to withstand that. And so what are we left with? Well, we can't grow our own food because it won't grow. And so we'll be left with Monsanto food to eat, which is going to give us cancer, and we're going to die.
That's right. That seems to be a pretty accurate prediction. Well, now, what seems to be happening, we just had an election recently, and as you know, General Petraeus has some difficulties. Who knows what they really are, what's really going on with that. But,
I have my opinion.
maybe you'd care to share it with us tonight, because nothing is as it seems, as you know, and maybe you could share a few of the political insights that you are finding are current today.
Well, I've been following Benghazi since it broke and digging into it. And my first couple of articles, I didn't realize what actually was happening. And as I was writing and learning more and more, I realized that J. Christopher Stevens, the U.S. ambassador, quote-unquote, and I'll explain that in a minute, who was killed, he has an incredible background. He worked with governmental programs as a youth in learning multicultural programs. He also was a diplomatic lawyer. He was also a special representative in Israel. And Clinton just automatically gave him U.S. ambassador status after he had been working as a special representative to the National Transitional Council. And for those listeners who don't know who that is, the National Transitional Council is the de facto terrorist government that we implemented after we killed Gaddafi. So these are terrorists. And they have a seat at the UN, so they're legitimate, right? So that's okay, right? Because they're at the UN. But they are terrorists. They base their military on the February 17 Brigade. They also hire, like we do, other terrorist factions to fill in the gap in their military. We use DynCorp and Blackwater, who also calls himself Academe. But Stevens was working with the CIA. And the reason why I say quote-unquote ambassador is because with my research, I found that he was most likely a CIA spy.
Yes, I heard that too. Yes, good.
There was
Exactly.
There was no diplomatic mission, consulate, or it was a in Benghazi. Then, yeah. If you go to usembassy.gov, you will see that that's true. The nearest one is in Tripoli, and it would be like the difference between New York and South Florida, and that's how far away that they are. And so he would go to Benghazi and stay at the at this rented gated villa that was leased out by the U.S. State Department by a local man named Mohammed al-Bashiri. And everything I'm saying, folks, if you're listening, you can look it all up and research it yourself. It's all true. Bashiri rented this out to the U.S. State Department, and so Stevens would go there and stay when he was doing his gun-running deals between the National Transitional Council and the Saudi Arabian government. And a lot of the guns that were run through ended up in the hands of the Free Syrian Army, who are the terrorists who are fighting the proxy war in Syria, as well as Salafi extremists who come from Saudi Arabia. And the Salafi extremists also have ties to the Muslim Brotherhood, who is best friends with our communist-in-chief, Barack Obama. So he was basically spying on these terrorist factions that the National Transitional Council was hiring, and knew, had detailed information about secret oil contracts between the Saudi Arabian government and our government with Barack Obama. And basically what happened was the Salafis, he knew that there was a hit out on him. He put in 20 requests to the U.S. State Department and was denied by Hillary Clinton for extra security. And because Hillary Clinton has a long history with the Saudi Arabian government, just like the Bush family does.
Yeah.
And so what they did is essentially they killed a CIA spy. And this is why Petraeus is so important. And this is why we come up with this extramarital affair, and with two women, right? Jill Kelly and Paula Broadwell. And Petraeus is the first man that I've ever known who cheats on his wife and quits his job. Usually they don't quit their job.
Oh, right.
So that's the distraction. Paula Broadwell is, she went to West Point. She was a intelligence agent. She was probably planted. If anything happened at all, which I highly doubt, she was probably planted. Jill Kelly is a Middle Eastern elite, and she has strong ties to the Petraeus family. And they've known the Petraeus family for, I think, about 5 years.
Okay.
And both women, before any of this came out, both women had made several visits to the White House, where Barack Obama denies that they ever met with him. But, you know, I don't believe that.
Right.
So in my opinion, you know, they killed their spy. Clinton let it happen. I don't know if Petraeus let it happen or if Petraeus had nothing to do with that, but he certainly knows what's going on. And that's why he met in closed doors with the Senate. in the house. And I put out an article, it's up today, with the conflicting stories that the House of Representatives, Peter King, and another gentleman whose name escapes me, Petraeus, a lot of what Petraeus said was classified, but what they did divulge to the mainstream propaganda was one representative said that he backed up Susan Rice's initial statement that it was based on the Muslim film, which, by the way, the Muslim film was created by a gentleman who is an Israeli, who in 2009 was arrested for bank fraud and had been working with the FBI as an informant. And there's strong evidence, not definitive, but there's strong evidence to believe that this film was state-sponsored. So Susan Rice comes out and says initially that it was because of this film. And one representative says that Petraeus in his testimony backed that up. Another representative says that he admitted that it was terroristic in nature. And that goes better with the evidence that I've been able to call out of this, because Ambassador Stevens, he was given ambassador status after a year of being a diplomat, quote-unquote, for being a representative to running guns and being a representative to terrorist factions. So it's my opinion that Clinton gave him that U.S. ambassador status to give him a reason, a legitimate reason for being in Benghazi, other than, you know, his actual mission. And I don't think that anybody in the alternative media, except for me, is actually talking about that fact. And on my website, you know, you can search in the search bar at the top of my website, Benghazi, and you can read these articles. I've written about it multiple times, and you can check my source links and read it. It's the Washington Post, and it's credible sources. Well, it's mainstream propaganda, but, you know, what's funny is when you read these articles, it's always hidden deep in that article. You can't just read the title and move on. You can't just read the first paragraph and move on. You got to keep going. They're human just like we are, and they slip up, and they tell us stuff that they probably shouldn't have. But it's that one sentence in the middle of the article that you want to look for, and then go look that information up.
Well, that sounds like good advice.
I'm a big Bill Cooper fan, and I think that everyone should do the research themselves. There's so much co-opting that we all know about in the mainstream, but if we know that the bankers have funded both sides of the war, you know, with World War II and whatnot, it would be notoriously stupid of them to not fund both sides of the information war. And fortunately or unfortunately, in my position, I get to know people who are on the other side of the screen. You know, a lot of people go to websites, and because it's alternative news, when we wake up and we want to go to the alternative news, we don't know who's what, but we know that we should trust the alternative news. We've heard that, so we just go to the biggest guy out there. Okay. And being on the other side of that and having spoken with a lot of people, I've unfortunately learned that a lot of the big names in alternative media are co-opted. So I have disassociated myself from a lot of places that when I first started my career, I was happy to be part of, but I've since backed away and I don't let them repost any of my articles or are associated with them in any way, because I've learned from people who worked with those people who no longer work with them. Heard stories, and I feel like part of my exposure, if I'm exposing the real truth behind the news, then I also have to let my readers and my listeners know on my radio shows or whenever I go on a radio show, if it comes up, to just be wary and not just go to one source and check everyone's source links. You would be amazed at the lies that you hear, even on the alternative news sites, and some of the biggest names out there. Check their source links. There was one article on one of the biggest news alternative news sites out there, and I checked their source link, and they had written an article about the DOD using population control, giving the intimation that the DOD is going to start sterilizing people and not letting them procreate, and quoting Henry Kissinger. Well, when I went to the DOD press release and read it, it said nothing about population control. What it said is population stabilization. And they had missed the mark. When I read this press release and I started digging into the press release, it was amazing. The DOD was actually admitting they had a summit and everything where they invited DynCorp and Blackwater and a lot of corporations who instill these fake revolutions, these Arab Springs and what we've seen with Wall Street. And so when they destabilize a country with these fake Arab Springs, then they send in DynCorp and Blackwater to stabilize the country. You know, because you get real peaceful when you're staring down the barrel of a gun and your government has been toppled and your country is in disarray and you can't defend yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's, once they've got them stabilized, then they send in their patsy.
Hmm.
So I wrote the actual article that should have been written. And I got a lot of flack from the website that that had written the original article about population control. And they tried to say that the DOD scrubbed it and changed it. And, folks listening, we all know that the government fakes their documents, and we all know that they scrub information off the Internet. But I don't think that they're doing it because one alternative news writer is writing about it, and that person is so scary important that the government is worried that that person's going to expose them, so they go back and scrub their information. That's not how it happens.
right. Well, just out of curiosity, since you mentioned many of the sources are co-opted, what are a few of the sources that you feel more comfortable with as true sources of good, solid information?
For the most part, Activist Post is a really good place to go, but I would check their source links. Madison Rupert at End the Lie is a really good guy. I know him, and he writes really good articles, and his source links, go and check him out. He's on the up and up. If you want to listen to radio, Govern America on RBN with Darren Weeks is a very good guy. I know him personally, and he's very calm and everything like that, but he's really into digging into the truth. And Pete Santilli on the Pete Santilli Show, he's also on the RBN, but you can go to thepetesantillishow.com and download his podcast or go on YouTube and listen to his radio broadcast, and he's amazing. Mm-hmm. I try to network now with Vinny Eastwood. I can't remember his address, but Vinny Eastwood, he's in New Zealand. Awesome guy. Great guy. And he's interested in finding out the truth. Rosa Corey, I speak to her on a regular basis. She's amazing. Just be careful, you know, if you're listening to somebody's broadcast and they have an expert on their show and the guy is a CFR member, I would shut that off.
Right. I agree with you on that one.
You know?
Yes.
It's not like you can just walk away from the CFR, you know?
Right. Indeed. One of the smaller newspaper, well, I guess not a newspaper, it's a newsletter, but one of the sources that I enjoy on occasion, I check in with Wayne Madsen periodically to see what he's got to say. And Max Kaiser has an interesting take on financial terrorism.
I do enjoy Max Kaiser, and he's reposted some of my articles before,
good.
And I'm very grateful for that.
Oh, wonderful. Well, they're so well written, so, you know, you do your homework and you write them well. So what's your favorite article that you have out right now? Do you have any that you really enjoyed writing and sharing the information about?
They're all so important. They're like my babies, you know. It's like
right.
I put so much into it. That's why I've kind of had a hard time when people ask me to write exclusive articles. I'm like, oh, I can't, you know,
yeah,
I can't give
yeah.
any one of them. But I've written a couple of articles, like I said, about Benghazi, and I really encourage everyone who's listening to go and research that and check my source links and go beyond me because this isn't over. And it's
right.
interesting that they're, I called it Obama's changing of the guard. Since Obama thinks that he's a dictator or a monarch, but he's firing everyone. And
uh-huh.
And just tonight, I was looking at the news. I was on RT. Was I on
RT?
Yeah,
yeah, I listened to that.
I was on Breitbart. Oh, I was on everywhere. But I can't remember which one. It was on Breitbart. Lisa Jackson, who is one of the people who will be leaving the Obama communist dictatorship, and she's now being implemented in using a secret email address to hide documents. And Lisa Jackson is head of the Environmental Protection Agency. So it seems like everyone is in some sort of scandal, you know, except for Hillary Clinton. She gets away with anything, and she doesn't have to testify because she's out of the country. You know,
right.
Our government isn't important enough for her to come home and talk about her involvement in Benghazi. She's out of the country.
Right. Right. Well, let's leave her out for a while and see what happens.
I think we're going to see her back in 2016.
Oh, no
I think
question
she's...
about that.
Yeah.
If there is a 2016, given the nature of all these fires that are occurring on so many different levels, on the Earth changes level, on weather, on the various prophecies that have been spoken of for thousands of years now, and with the dangerous directions that we're going in increasing militarism and us versus them thinking, in order to control some aspect or some people to gain territory, gold, money rights, you know, stuff. We want stuff, and so we're killing people for it. And I find it barbaric that we're still pursuing this kind of path at such a late date in our meager evolution here. And it's really a sad state of affairs when you look at it, that people have become mired in selfish consumerism and corruption and, you know, wealth beyond any measure that a one person could spend in several lifetimes.
Well, exactly. That's why they're turning what you see happening over in the Eurozone. People say to me, well, Why would they want to destroy the economy? Well, because they print the money. They don't care about it anymore.
Right.
And they know that it's not backed by anything. So what they're doing is they're trying to turn it into hard assets. Now,
mm-hmm.
what people might not know, and there's an article on my website as well about this, is Greece has huge deposits of gold, huge deposits of natural gas, and oil. So why wouldn't the central bankers want that country? And look at what they're doing to Greece. These people are eating out of trash bins. They're at their wit's end. I've heard reports, and I haven't vetted them, but I've heard reports about parents giving their children away because they can't feed them.
Yes, yes. And, of course, that brings to mind that there's a $32 billion global sex trade in children and young girls and young boys all over the world, and these are run at the topest, at the top levels of, you know, politics and government. And
well, that's, you know, here in the United States, we have Obama working with Pat Stryker in Colorado, and she works with the CPS, and the CPS is notorious for taking children, and so she's got an airline called Bohemian Airlines, and they've been known to show up in Amsterdam, and there's allegations that some of the stories can't be corroborated or vetted, but there have been reports that she's working in the child trafficking, and you know, this is amazing when your children get taken by CPS, the first thing that they do is they medicate them with adult dosages of lithium and other psychotropic drugs, which they don't even know what they do to adults. And
that's
so you're giving this to sometimes infants.
That's right, yeah.
And then when they're in foster care, anyone can become a foster parent. And these children are being abused in the foster home, sometimes to the point where they're killed, but definitely being abused physically and mentally and sometimes sexually.
Yeah. And, you know, these are the things that we need to be aware of because we are in such, here in the United States, we are denial incorporated.
Cognitive dissonance. It's a medical term.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We don't want to look at our own stuff. And if we, you know, the more we have, the less we're going to look at somebody else's, or else we're going to point fingers so they don't look at ours. But there's a solution to this, and that is to be truthful with yourself and see what's going on and make the right choices. Not everybody has a conscience, but those people who do have a conscience still can make choices that benefit their children and their families and other human beings that are just trying to be free here on this planet, this prison planet, as Alex Jones would say.
Yeah, we can just stop complying at any moment. Think about it. I find it interesting because I watch a PBS Kids with my children.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the few outlets that you can find wholesome programming. However, there's a lot of globalism because the Ford Foundation, and all that. So, you know, I have to be careful, but they're promoting Christmas. And my son was very intrigued by this, and I explained to him, we've got Thanksgiving coming up, and that's a time where we sit down and have a meal and have quality time with the people that we love. But the corporations don't make any money off of that. So they're trying to push consumerism on you earlier and earlier This weekend is like a huge pre-Black Friday sale, 16th and 17th, your crap that you're buying. And so I was explaining to him that Christmas is only important because it's a moneymaker, and it has nothing to do with the enjoyment of the idea of a holiday, you know?
Right. And, you know, there's so many creative ways to get around the commercialism of these holidays, and one is to use your imagination and have kids and family members make things from scratch. Make your own cards.
I've got a huge before I became a journalist, I was actually I was a stay-at-home mom. I scrapbook all my baby books are scrapbook, and so I've got all this stuff sitting around that I don't have time to use anymore. So holidays we make cards.
It's and it's such a wonderful joint process to work on something like that. And occasionally, I mean, we do have to eat, so we can indulge in some various. Some people are vegetarians, other people eat meat, but we can certainly join together in preparing our meals and sit together and eat them, and that's a nice thing. And tell stories around the table,
right?
So. You know, it, with the TV off.
Yes, turn that. In fact, I got rid of my television 7 years ago, and I have never felt so good in my entire life.
it's liberating. It's liberating. You can't think straight with it on.
No, I mean, and sometimes we'll watch, like, on Hulu or, we'll watch something, and then we see an ad. And my children are always shocked. What is that? And my son knows. They're just trying to get you to buy something. That's stupid.
Right. And so is everyone else. And what's really irritating is all the ads on YouTube and on Yahoo and various other sites that just pop up everywhere. Sometimes you can't even figure out where they're coming from because they just start talking. And, you know, I'm not used to embedded videos, so I have to go down and shut all my windows down until I find the offensive ad. But that is not effective advertising. And the best advertising is to have a good product and have people talk about it.
I have sponsors on my website because unfortunately in this country you have to pay your bills. But my husband works the business aspect of our website, and he spends hours talking to these people. We try out their products. I've turned down sponsors that wanted to turn my source links into ads, that wanted to have ads actually in my articles. My articles are there for information purposes. And absolutely terrible. So everybody that's on my website, we either use their product or we spend so much time speaking with them product, because I will shut down anybody. We've had sponsors that one sponsor that we had wanted me to write a review of their product, and they sent it to us, and then they wanted to edit the review and then have us submit it on our website, and I said, well, then you write the review. And by the way, we're not going to re-up your contract. You can, you know.
Right. Good girl. I love that. That's wonderful.
I would rather not. My husband, I'm fortunate my husband makes enough money where I can stay at home and do this. But,
good.
Yeah, I'm not in it to make the money, ladies and gentlemen. I don't make very much money off my website. I do this 7 days a week. Because I want to, because it's important, because I'm not going to spend my golden years in an Agenda 21 shoebox, and I'm not going to have my children sterilized and then become biochemical automatons to serve the global
elite.
Right. It's going to happen.
And that's around the corner, and people just aren't, you know, they're not peeking around there. It's that old denial thing again, but
I've written about them in, they've got them in New York, in San Francisco. They just built some in Boston. And I just found out that they're building them in Portland, Oregon.
Oh, my.
And these are 222 square foot apartments that are shoeboxes, that are prison cells, glorified prison cells.
Yeah.
And they are stack 'em and pack 'em. And the buildings that they're building them, like in Surat, India, they're putting 75% of the population into these buildings. And they're going to be operational by 2013. And these buildings are smarter than you are. This building knows whether or not you have enough energy credits, it'll shut you off. It knows whether or not you have enough water credits, it'll shut you off. It knows whether or not you have enough credits to expel enough waste. Not to get graphic here, but
Oh, that is something, I'll tell you. This world has taken so many wrong turns. And it doesn't really look very hopeful right at the moment.
It doesn't, but we can stop complying at any moment. What I would love to see is nobody go out. Don't leave your house on Black Friday. Or if you do, please go to your local shops and your local vendors and keep that money in your community.
And
go to your local farmer. Yeah, forget about it. Don't go to any big box store at all. And go to your local farmer's market. But, you know, I worked on an organic farm for 5 years in Colorado.
Oh.
And I learned a lot about the farmer's market. And they are they are filled with policy, and they really rake those farmers over the coals for fees and all that crap. But you can go straight to your farmer and get a CSA box, a community-supported agriculture, and you will pay up front. But what you're helping your farmer to pay his bills for the next season.
Oh,
and
good.
So every month, it's either once a week, once a month, or twice a month, or every other week, or something like that, you'll get a box of fresh food that's locally grown. Some of these people, farmers co-op with their ranchers in the area. You can get meat and cheese and dairy products. And then you're supporting your local community. And if we just for this season, just either made it ourselves or bought it locally, it would send a clear message to these people. The less we comply with this fake habitat that they provided for us, because we outnumber them dramatically. If they brought in every single member of the armed forces, of every division of the armed forces, and brought them all home and stuck them and put them here on our soil, we still outnumber them dramatically. And not one shot needs to be fired. There was a woman, Sahara Donahue, in Colorado, and she had her home raided by the SWAT team, the local sheriff's team, dressed up like paramilitary, like MPs.
Oh, my.
And if they showed up with 20, you know, machine guns, okay, you know, semi-automatic guns. If we had gotten... I'm sorry?
I said there's no excuse for that.
There's no excuse, but if we had been able to get 2,000 or 1,500 local people to show up with shotguns, who do you think would have won that argument?
Well, I think the local people probably would have won that one.
Exactly, and no shot would have needed to be fired. We have to draw a line, like Bill Cooper said, we have to draw a line in the sand and say, if you come across this line, you're going to get it. This is where my rights are. You cannot take any more from me. Here's my line. And if you come across it, I'm willing to defend myself. And once we get to that point, then we don't have to, we can be diplomatic, but we have to back it up with a show of credible force.
Yeah, I agree with you.
So we need to get out of the social meme. We need to turn the television off. We need to stop listening to this music. We need to talk to our neighbors and not just say hi, but find out who they are. I accidentally all the time bake extra cookies and go to my neighbor's house and say, you know what? I baked too many cookies. Here you go. All the time.
That's wonderful. I love it. You know, that's such a kind gesture, and it's a little thing, but it means so much to people, and it binds you together in the human spirit and the heart. And those are the friendships that we'll be holding together when the world starts falling apart.
Exactly. And you want to know that the guy living next door to you has your back, because when
That's
they come
right.
and bust down your door, you
That's
want
right.
to know that you've got a backup line of defense. Because they will.
Right. Wow, that's terrific. Well, Suzanne, we are almost out of time, and I wanted to give you a few minutes to mention your websites and your radio shows and where you can be found.
My website is occupycorporatism.com. On the website, you can link up to radio.occupycorporatism.com. And you can listen to all my shows. I'm also on RBN every Saturday at 2 p.m. Central for the Real News Report. And then on iTunes, Spreaker, UCY.TV, as well as Prepper Podcast Network and Blog Talk Radio, you can hear the Region 10 report. And you can download that at any time that you want. And I also have a Facebook page for Occupy Corporatism and an RSS feed if you want to sign up. A lot of people have. I've got over 300 people signed up to that. And if you want to talk to me, you can email me at admin@occupycorporatism.com. I do look at every email. I can't promise that I will answer every email, but I do look at them, and I really do try, because I'm just like you. I'm not a prima donna, but I'm just like you, and I want to be able to talk to as many people as possible.
Right. Well, Suzanne, keep up the wonderful work. You're doing such a great job, and you're an inspiration for all of us. And I just want to thank you for coming on the show tonight and sharing your thoughts and your website so that we can learn more about what's going on and get the truth and get to the bottom of it. And you do that.
Thank you. I had a great time. Thank you for asking me.
Oh, wonderful. All right. Well, hopefully we'll see each other around the schoolyard.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Thanks again, and good night to all the listeners, and good night, everybody.